Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Gorgeous afternoon for baseball here. We just need one other thing, and that would be Bruce Jenkins down here. Bruce, how are you today?
Good, Marty. How are you?
Very good. It's one of those gorgeous Scottsdale afternoons. The wind now is blowing to right field. It was blowing to left field about 5 minutes ago. But blue sky, and we got the Cubs coming in. Spring training is moving along. Good game for the Giants last night. Cole Hamels today. So it's what baseball is. Bruce, it's 2 weeks away.
Yeah, you know, I really wish there were more telecasts. You know, we get them like once a week, and that's just not enough. You'd think in this day and age you could call up any Giants or A's spring training game on television. That's really not the case. So, you know, we're reading, going on the reports in the on the Internet and the Chronicle and the Athletic and everything else. And but, yeah, I do miss it down there, but I'm really excited about the start of the season.
Yeah, as I said earlier, the team is better than you think. And last night, Bruce, we had a good example, I think, of what can happen. And that is they scored a couple of runs, and Drew Pomerantz, Bruce, this guy is 30 years old. It's the big curveball. He's a number one pick. And Holland, four innings each of shutout ball. And Trevor Gott, no relation to Jim Gott, finished it, and the Giants won 2-0.
Yeah, the pitching looks really good to me. Rotation and the bullpen. This is going to be the strength of the team. And yeah, you're right. Pomerantz has the big lefty bender. That's so effective, and he's ready to. He had a tremendous season 2 years ago, cut short by injury last year. But if he's all the way back, he's going to be tremendous. Likes to go deep in the games, and I just think, you know, there's. If you look at the bullpen, I'm looking at the Giants depth chart on the MLB.com, and there's so many. There's like a dozen really interesting names on there. And they'll sort it out probably with a couple of deals, but that's going to be a big-time strength for the team.
Well, I think so, and I think the starting pitching, Bruce, and you know, you and I have watched Beattie for 3-4 years together down here. He is a different pitcher this year. I mean, the 97 has got some hop to it. He's got that look in his eye, and there's no place for him. I mean, believe it or not, this is a team they say is going to come in last in National League West or not be a factor, and there's no spot for Tyler Beattie, who really, Bruce, looks like the best surprise of the camp.
I'll tell you, Marty, they can have the best rotation in the division, I think. You know, the Dodgers, if Kershaw is all the way back, which is certainly not the case right now, that could alter the equation a lot. But it's possible that the Giants could be the deepest and best rotation. And, you know, they'll probably – I don't know what their plans are for Beattie. He might make the bullpen as a long guy. I think they'd probably rather start him in Sacramento, because if he's really is the changed man that we've seen – if that's for real, he's a guy you want starting.
Yeah, well, something Farhan said to us the other day, and, you know, for me, the winter for Farhan has been fun. You know, he's getting players, Solarte, Solano, Hansel Alberto goes back and forth like, you know, a cable car to Baltimore and here. he's got Parra, he's got Maitman. You know, he's got all these players, Pomerantz. But at some point, he's got to get 25. And he's got to get rid of some people or figure out a way to do it. And then he's got to deal with the season. So for me, he's having a ball right now. But things are going to change here in the next 10 days.
Yeah, and again, I think really they need a couple of deals. They've operating out of strength in the bullpen. A lot of teams are going to be wanting, you know, good relief pitchers. They got a bunch of them. Exactly what they have planned, I don't know. Right now, I like the team too. I really like everybody in the lineup for one reason or another. It's tough when you compare him against the other teams, but I do think that he's got to make. He's not going to make a blockbuster. He's not going to bring somebody like, you know, Paul Goldschmidt in. But I think he's got to do a little more tinkering because right now, you know, it's a solid team, but it needs a little more pop.
Well, he's got 35 people for 25 positions. So yeah. He can do it. He can say whatever he wants, but he actually has to do something here in about, you know, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, the outfield is really, I'd say, pretty unsettled. I think that's the main thing they got to work out. Who's going to start? Who's going to make the team? Who's going to be sent down? You know, with Slater and Ferguson and Mack Williamson and Shaw, there's so many possibilities there. And, you know, we'll see. That's a pretty big if.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Derek Rodriguez, we'll continue just for another minute or two. But the starting rotation, if you look at Holland and Pomerantz and Samardzija, you look at Bumgarner, then you don't want to lose Stratton. He wants to have about 10 starters. He said that during the course of a season. So you don't want to lose Stratton because he's out of options. Well, Rodriguez, Suarez, Beattie, Block, there's no room for him. How about that?
Well, you know, what Saidi and Andrew Friedman did, and Dave Roberts did with the Dodgers last year is every week they had a different rotation. If you looked at the five guys, they're moving guys in and out. They definitely invented a couple of injuries. Geez, he's got a little sore back, maybe take a few days off. And you know, the idea being that you don't wear anybody out. And the Giants are in a position to do that with guys like Beattie and Block and Stratton not getting a job. And it's great because, you know, they might all start in Sacramento, but with this plan, it's not like that rotation is set. You come up, you get a shot, you get a couple starts, and maybe you show enough to where you stick around.
Yeah. Hey, Stephen Vogt. Bruce, did you get to know him at all when he was with the Athletics? Did you ever get to talk
to him? Yeah. One of the great guys, one of the great interviews. I remember one time a few years ago I was doing a story on bats and what bats do all you guys use. And they're talking, you guys are talking maple and this and there, bats from Asia and everything. And Stephen Vogt had a ash Louisville slugger. You know, he said, you know, these are the best bats. I love this bat. I don't know why they're fading from popularity, but he's just he's hilarious for one thing. If you want to, you know, he's a great guy to have around. If things aren't going so well, he puts things in perspective. And you know, to lose Hundley as the backup catcher and bring in this guy is a great move.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. He can swing the bat, Bruce.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt in my mind whether he can throw competitively. If he can throw competitively in the National League with an arm injury is the question for me. But somehow they will work this guy in. And I'm telling you, this is a 35-year-old player. I don't know how old he is. He's in his 30s. He won the Catfish Hunter Award three times, which is the McCovey Award over there, the Willie Mack Award. This is an interesting guy, maybe one of the more interesting players they brought in. Bruce, I'm telling you, the guy can still hit. He can still hit.
Yeah, he's always had pretty good power. I mean, the A's really resurrected his career, which looked like it was completely gone. And he's having a later in life revival that's still in progress.
All right, let's jump to Tom Seaver the disturbing news this week that he will no longer make public appearances, suffering from dementia. Art Shamsky wrote a beautiful book. Art is going to be on with us next Sunday. And Art and Buddy Harrelson went to see Tom not too long ago, and they described that experience. He was having a good day, and they talk about the 69 Mets, which is the 50th year of the anniversary. So your feelings about Seaver, and I hope maybe I can get Shamsky on with you on the 17th. It would be fun to have you talk
about.
But go ahead about Tom Seaver. Go ahead.
Well, I go back to, you know, Tom Seaver at USC, you know, and coming out of Fresno and breaking in with the Mets. And, you know, the legs on that guy, there's the classic photos of him in the mid, just about to release the ball. His back legs almost touching the ground. He's got so much power in his legs. And he had some quotes that I use in my column today that I've been trying to get in for years. I never got him in. And, of course, it's under not the greatest circumstances, but I did want to lend his voice to the arguments about, you know, pitchers, longevity and, you know, staying in games and building character and all that. The terrific quotes that he had from years past when he really was, he was quite lucid and very, definitive on his thoughts. He was a very opinionated guy, but this is a guy that pitched, you know, like around 250 innings for 10 years in a row. I mean, he broke right in with 210. I mean, all this stuff about, oh, we'll start him with 70, and then, oh, God, don't let him go past 85 the next inning. And then he goes to Tommy John. See you later. See you in 2 years.
Now, beautiful. Two stories about, two stories about Tom Seaver. Richie Ashburn told me the story when Richie, the great Hall of Famer, was with us. He said the first time he saw Tom Seaver pitch, he called Robin Roberts up and said, Robin, you're back on the mound today. And because he was a drop and drive.
Drop and drive, exactly.
Yeah, and push off the mound. And Richie said, Robin, you're back on the mound today. And that's when he saw Tom Seaver for the first time. The second thing is, during the Vietnam War, Tom Seaver was very vocal with his opposition at the end of the war after 1969. Took out a full page ad, and I forget which paper it was, giving his opinion on, you know, what was happening in the day, and which, of course, he was right about eventually. But he was a very, very strong person in the world, Bruce.
Yeah, and, you know, those 69 Mets had such a big effect, really, really, on the whole country. Television coverage was getting a lot better then. It was the first season where they broke the leagues into divisions, and they actually had playoffs. The Miracle Mets, you know, they had great shots of Seaver's wife Nancy in the stands, living and dying with every moment, and he was just so dramatically good out there. And, you know, that the people were following the 69 Mets like they'd follow their own team. It was such a great story. And that was just the start of him. He was great for so many years, and he was still pitching. He was 41.
The great Tom, number 41, the great Tom Seaver. Then 69 Mets, Bruce, we'll leave it with this one. They came in ninth the year before, just almost in last place. Gil Hodges was the manager. They were 100-1 to win the pennant the next year. 100-1. Not only did they win the pennant, they won the World Series over a tremendous Orioles team. For people who don't remember that, that was a story.
Well, you know, they had Tommy Agee and Cleon Jones, unbelievable staff, Buddy Harrelson, you know, Ed Cranepool, Don Clendenin coming off the bench. And it's just funny that it was a really miraculous story. You wonder if such a thing could happen now. You know, it's like they've already penciled in most of the American League playoffs, and the National League contenders are clearly defined. Could somebody come off a really terrible season like that and pull off a 69 Mets? Who knows? It would help if they had a staff with Seaver and Jerry Koosman and Gary Gentry and Nolan Ryan just coming up.
Yeah, Nolan Ryan and Jim McAndrew was the other one. Yeah, I brought it up for that reason, because everyone talks about spring training and who's going to win, who's going to lose. Here's a team that was 100-1, and I'd love to see it. It'd be great for baseball.
Absolutely.
Bruce, we have a special guest. I wanted to get him on while you were here as well, and that is Don Carson joins us. And Don, the owner of Don and Charlie's, and he's going to, after the break, is going to tell us a little bit about the story. But, Bruce, I wanted to give you a chance to talk to Don. So, Don, you're on with Bruce Jenkins.
Bruce, how are you? How's the family?
Well, it's an honor, Don. I so look forward to seeing you every year in spring training and getting down to the restaurant. I tweeted out today, if you've never been to Don Charlie's and you got some spring training plans, get over there, not just because it's the last year, but just because it's a hell of a joint and so well run and so many great memories. My wife Martha and I had so many great times there. I think Martha's got a photo on the wall there with a bunch of other people.
Well, may I segue into a quick story? I was standing by the batting cage with B.B., Dirk, and Kipe, and myself, and it was a couple hours before a spring training game, and Martha Jane took a picture of the four of us.
Yeah.
And I have a little south of 4,000 items on the wall, and that is my most treasured piece that I have.
Well, oh, my goodness. Well, that's that moves me beyond words, believe me. And, you know, Marty, one of the great things about Don is that the Scottsdale Press Box is catered by Don and Charlie's. You go in there for lunch, and for heaven's sake, they got a whole spread there, and it's absolutely terrific.
Thank you.
Come on, I'm hungry. You know, I know in a half hour I'm having lunch, believe me.
There you go.
We have people that come from other training camps to come here to have lunch.
Exactly, you know? And then they leave before the game.
Those are the scouts, you know. They know where the good food is.
Yeah.
But, all right, I'm glad you had a chance to talk to Don.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. A great man and a real institution in Arizona. And a big Giants fan, of course.
I'll see you this summer.
Okay. I look forward to that, man.
All right, Bruce, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good afternoon, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You bet. Talk to you then. Thanks.
All right.